the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Thursday morning. We're so glad that you are tuning your heart to the truth with us. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quimno. Good morning, Alicia.
Good morning, Gabby. March 16th. How did that happen?
I don't know.
I think I probably said that February 16th, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, hey, a shout out to our own Jeff Blackwell and his wife, Diane, celebrating their 49th wedding Woo-hoo! Anniversary today. Happy
woot,
anniversary.
Woot.
49. Goals. Feels like 49 minutes.
Underwater.
I hope Diane's still sleeping.
No, she's up on Adam.
Well, happy anniversary to you both.
Thank you very much.
Let's start this morning with prayer. Today is the feast of St. Clement Mary Hofbrauer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we implore your majesty most humbly, O Lord, that as the feast of our salvation draws ever closer, we may press forward all the more eagerly towards the worthy celebration of the Paschal mystery. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, St. Clement Mary Hofbrauer, pray for us.
Pray for us. We have a great and informative show for you today, starting off with some St. Joseph altar events, you guys. I don't know about you, but my church parish is having their St. Joseph's altar this weekend. Many are, so we'll give you details on a few of them happening in our listening area. We have a ton of them on our website calendar at ccmedia.live. You can go and check them out on there as well. That's coming up in 8 minutes. In 18 minutes, Michael Van Hecke joins us. He's a president and founder of the Institute for Catholic Liberal Education. And today he's talking about Catholic education and how it's changed and how we can, why more and more people are putting their children in Catholic schools, maybe switching to a Catholic education, whether they're homeschooling or putting their kids in CCD classes. So we'll be talking to Michael about this change. In 35 minutes, Father Michael Alello joins us. He's a pastor over at St. Thomas More in Baton Rouge, and he's going to be talking about the National Catholic Education Association Awards. So it's a great and fun time with Father Alello and these awards. And in 48 minutes, Jack Beers joins us. He's a vice president of ministry at Dynamic Catholic. And we're talking about Flocknote. A lot of parishes use Flocknote. I know my parish uses it. And we're going to talk about how this is changing the way that parishes communicate with their parishioners. So it's going to be a great show for you today. Very informative. Looking forward to it, Alicia. And looking forward to that weather report. Right. What do you have
See,
for
my
us?
My parish uses Flocknote. That's such a great way to keep everybody informed. So looking forward to that interview. Well, today's weather, we still have it's brisk out there. Today will be mostly sunny, a lot like yesterday, with highs in the mid to upper 70s for most of our listening area. That south wind is coming about 5 to 15 miles per hour, depending on where you are along the Gulf Coast. The partly cloudy skies are expected to kind of come in late this afternoon into the evening, but there's it's like 10% chance of rain, which I consider no percent chance of rain for this evening. So temperatures in the area, Baton Rouge, 43 degrees, New Orleans, 55. It's 50 degrees in Biloxi and 45 in Pass Christian. We are talking to about St. Joseph's altars when we come back from the break. It is 5 minutes past the hour on Wake Up.
Thank you. Good Thursday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is taken from Luke chapter 11. Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute, and when the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the crowds were amazed. Some of them said, "By the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons, he drives out demons." Others, to test him, asked him for a sign from heaven. But he knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be laid waste, and house will fall against house. And if Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that it is by Beelzebul that I drive out demons. If I then drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your own people drive them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his palace, his possessions are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he takes away the armor on which he relied and distributes the spoils. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
In today's gospel, St. Luke recalls Jesus' healing of a mute person. The word the evangelist uses can refer to either a deaf person or to one who is both deaf and mute, that is, someone unable to speak. This miracle is the first of five in the central section of Luke's gospel as Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and crucifixion. The more numerous miracles that Jesus worked in Galilee led people to wonder about his identity. Fewer miracles are now worked because Jesus encounters less faith. Here, in today's gospel, the miracle punctuates the ensuing dispute that highlights the increasing rejection of Jesus as he nears Jerusalem. The crowds were amazed. However, opposition is also evident. Some discredit the miracle by claiming that Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he drives out demons. Second, some to test him ask for a sign from heaven. Now, the word Beelzebul is a contraction of Baal, master, or lord, and Zabel, exalted dwelling, and therefore the meaning is master of the exalted house. But by changing the last letter from L to B, bringing the word Beelzebub rather than Beelzebul, Satan is mocked, for the meaning of his name now becomes the Lord of the Flies. Jesus shows the absurdity of their charge, for Satan is certainly not trying to destroy his own kingdom, but fighting against himself. Besides, Jesus asks the rhetorical question, "By whom do your own people drive them out?" Jesus casts out demons by the finger of God, which is a reference to the claim of Pharaoh's magicians that the plagues Moses cast on Egypt were by the finger of God. Deeds they could not match. As for the demand of a sign from heaven, Jesus ignores this presumptuous request. Rather, he warns his listeners that no one can remain neutral to him, but must stand with him or against him. Putting it bluntly, Jesus declared, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." Jesus' statement certainly applies to us today. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker and Jimmy Sagers, for today's gospel and gospel reflection. It's 11 minutes after the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up on Catholic Community Radio. This weekend, Sunday, is March 19th, and that means it is the Feast of St. Joseph. So there are many St. Joseph's altars in our listening area. This is a tradition that was born in Sicily, thanking St. Joseph for relief from the drought. So, it's so interesting to learn. I didn't grow up with a St. Joseph's altar at our parish in Lafayette, but they're typically constructed in a cross shape, and they have three levels that is honoring the Trinity. Typically on the top layer, you'll see on the top level, there will be a statue or an image of St. Joseph, typically with flowers around him, honoring him. He's typically holding the baby Jesus as well. There are often baskets and opportunities for visitors to put in petitions. There's also lots of food, and everything on the altar has meaning, thanking Saint Joseph for his for praying for the people of Italy during that drought. So there are numerous, too many for us to talk. We'd be talking the whole show if we told you about the Saint Joseph's altars in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. But there is a place to go to find out about all those details, and that is nolacatholic.org/stjosephaltars. So that, again, is in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, nolacatholic.org/stjosephaltars. Here in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, St. Joseph in Grosse Tête has festivities that will begin at 3 p.m. on March 19th at St. Joseph. Bishop Michael Duca will be there with, of course, Father David Dawson, who is the pastor of those tri-parishes of St. Joseph, Immaculate Heart of Mary, and St. Francis Xavier Cabrini. And they are having, they'll start off with a Eucharistic procession from St. Joseph Church to the Veterans Memorial and back to the parish hall. There will bless the altar, and then there will be a meal for sharing. I love that they're starting off with the Eucharistic procession, Gabby, since it is the year of the Eucharist. That's a wonderful way. So check that out at their website. Again, that is St. Joseph in Grosse Tête. Also, our friends at Cypress Springs Mercedarian Prayer Center are having their amazing St. Joseph altar. That will be Sunday, again, March 19th, from noon until 4 p.m. Her Sister Dulcie's, as her ministry is, her altar is dedicated to the sick and dying. Again, it's an amazing altar, and there is a meal that will be shared after the altar, or after you visit the altar. So in the Diocese of Biloxi, the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary Cathedral on Howard Avenue in Biloxi will have their St. Joseph's altar, and it is titled this year, A Labor of Love. It will be displayed at Sacred Heart Center on, again, Sunday, starting at 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. Again, a meal will be shared around noon. You know, all of these St. Joseph's altars, Gabby, they do appreciate donations. You know, there's a lot going into it, so there will be an opportunity to make a donation to the parish to cover some of those costs of that shared meal and the altar itself. So lots to find out. You can go to ccmedia.live to find out some details of some of those St. Joseph's altars, but be sure you make it to at least one of them, especially if you live in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. So many to see. So stick around. Our Saint of the Day is coming up. It's 15 minutes after the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for March 16th. Today we celebrate Saint Clement Mary Hofbauer. Some people just won't take no for an answer. People like Clement Mary Hofbauer, who is considered the second founder of the Redemptorist Congregation. Born in Bohemia to a native Czech family, young Hans Hofbauer longed to be a priest. There was no money for studies. He was one of 12 children. But he found work in the bakery of a monastery, where he was permitted to attend classes in its Latin school. Some years later, two wealthy women offered to support him in his seminary studies. Hans joined the Redemptorist, took the name Clement, and was ordained in 1785. While living in Poland, Clement ministered to German-speaking Catholics who had been left priestless when the Jesuits were suppressed. He worked among the poor and helped found an orphanage and a school for boys. Clement spent his final dozen years in Vienna, where he quickly became known as the Apostle of the City. Hearing the confessions of the rich and poor, visiting the sick, counseling the powerful, and establishing a Catholic hospital. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour on Wake Up. We're so glad you're tuning your heart to the truth with us this morning. I'm Gabby Smith along with Alicia Quibido. Our first guest for today's show is Michael Van Hecke. Michael is the president and founder of the Institute for Catholic Liberal Education, and he's going to tell us a little bit more about a report called Joy of Education that's really changing the way of Catholic identity in Catholic schools. Good morning, Michael. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning, Gabby. Great to be here with you.
Tell us a little bit about the Catholic Liberal Education, the Institute for Catholic Liberal Education more specifically, and this newly released research study and how this is changing the path for Catholic education in schools.
I'll be happy to. The Institute for Catholic Liberal Education we had our roots 30 years ago, but really have been doing a lot more work in Catholic schools across the country over the last 15. Kind of a meteoric rise in the last five. And I think a lot of that has to do with just seeing what's going on in our culture and people looking for some answers and some truth. So what we do is we go and inspire and equip Catholic educators in order to renew their schools so that they can start drawing on the Catholic Church's tradition of education. And that, in turn, frees teachers and students for the joyful pursuit of faith and wisdom and virtue. It's a different way. It's the way that has sort of built Western civilization. So we're recovering that for our schools, for our teachers, and for the students. The report that we did, what we ended up doing is a survey of our member schools across the country. And I would say two things came out of that survey which were really important. One is some of the stats that we pulled out of it, and two, some of the outcomes that we found that were happening within the schools. So just if you give me a moment, I can run through just a couple of those things for you. First is, the stats are, we found that nearly two-thirds of our member schools are parochial. 12 years ago, zero of our schools were parochial. So that's been a big jump. 75% of the schools that we surveyed reported growth in enrollment since they have renewed in the Catholic liberal arts tradition. And then one surprising stat that I was pleased at, I'm out in California, and we have a very broad and deep Hispanic community out here. And one of the charges against what we're doing or against the, you know, the classical ed world and all of this is, oh, that's elitist. And it isn't. It's totally universal. And I was happy to see that the population reported in our schools are right about 24% Hispanic, which to me, it shows, okay, this is not, a Northeast prep school game. This is a nationwide renewal, and it's based deeply in the church. And I know from living I'm a small minority in a Hispanic town here, and the faith is very, very strong, and they just glom on to the chance for a beautiful and proper education really rooted deeply in the faith and faith tradition. And then more importantly than enrollment and all of those things is the reported increased family engagement and increased morale in the schools. And again, that morale is based on a reality. It's based on the power of the truth and beauty and goodness. And when I say that they are reporting increased family engagement and morale, it's 75% to 82% of the schools are saying that. So that's pretty good statistic, if you will, to show the power that a the church's mind for education being done in the school is mm-hmm. meeting the children, the teachers, and the families where they're at.
And Michael, then, this whole report is, I mean, it sounds great, you know, and you kind of wonder, well, what is it? That's the first question that comes to my mind. What is it that makes it so different? I mean, when you say nearly two-thirds of school reported that family engagement in the life of faith was better, I mean, I think that's what a lot of Catholic, if not most Catholic and faithful families want, especially for their children as they get older and go out into the secular world and embrace it as best as they can, you know, and try to keep the faith in the family. So what is it that is so different and so unique about this this institution and this program?
Well, I think there's a lot of things to say about that, but one of the things that we experience in Catholics and in Catholic schools, and you know, you point to this, is we recognize that it was long ago that we sort of adopted the secular model of education in our Catholic schools. We hire the same teachers from the same teacher prep schools that everyone else does. We use the same curriculum. We're employing the same pedagogies. And these really go back and have their roots in sort of the Deweyistic system. And Dewey was very much about creating workers, right? So that was very, you know, very early 20th century. It was, you know, for all practical purposes, it was a Marxist ideal. And so that crept into the entire American school system over the last 100 years, and we've just sort of been a frog boiled in that pot very slowly. So we recognize that the secular model of education is really rooted in the atheistic and utilitarian philosophy. So its rise over the past century has taken what we're learning and what we're teaching our schools and fragmented it. And mm-hmm. that, by their own measures, that has really failed our schools and our children and frankly, us. So when this industrialized approach gets imported, you know, uncritically into Catholic schools, it undermines both the faith and reason of our children. That's contrary to the church's central purpose in education, which is Christ, right? Jesus Christ. So we take Jesus Christ, the Logos, we put him back at the center of our schools, the center of our education, and we focus on how this affects both what we teach and how we teach. And that's the magic sauce. And it's not really magic, and it's not really difficult. So in our work with, you know, the thousands of teachers over the across the country, we find that they, you know, almost to a man, they are just elated at the this possibility of being free to teach again, free to teach truth, beauty, and goodness, free to make relationship with kids, free to bring wonder back into the classroom instead of, you know, being required to just make sure you hammer through these standards. Mm-hmm. You know, and we often don't question, well, who made those standards? Was it somebody that was really concerned about children and the ultimate truth and our ability to go to heaven, our ability to truly think? What about the assessments we take? What are those based on?
You make great points, Michael. You know, we have about a couple of minutes left. So how can maybe school administrators, dioceses with schools in them, parishes with schools attached to them, how can they get started and find out more information about this?
Well, our website is a great place to start. It's CatholicLiberalEducation.org, CatholicLiberalEducation.org. We use the term liberal, by the way, not in a political way. We are so mm-hmm. decidedly outside of the political realm, but liber, the Latin for free, points to the end of education, which is the same as the end of our lives, freedom in Christ. So CatholicLiberalEducation.org has a lot of resources. If you hover along the top, you'll see, you know, events, programs. There are articles you could read, videos you can watch. There's suggestions for the renewal, and that's really a great place to go, mm-hmm. because it gives a pastor or a principal or even a parent a sense of how you proceed. How do you, you know, your very question, how do we start in this renewal?
Yeah.
And then we also wrote a book about a year and a half ago through Catholic University of America Press, Renewing Catholic Schools, How to Regain a Catholic Vision in a Secular Age. And that does a similar thing in a book form, and it can be used as, you know, a faculty study or in a group. We've had bishops buy it for all their principals and whatnot.
Michael, thank you so much. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Michael Van Hecke, president and founder of the Institute for Catholic Liberal Education, thank you so much for being with us today.
Okay, God bless, Gabby. Thank you.
Great. I did post their website in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video if you want to read more about what is going on in Catholic Liberal Education Institute. Father Michael Alello joins us when we return from the break. It is 6:30 on Wake Up.
Morning. It's 35 minutes after the hour. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Community Radio. You're listening to Wake Up. You know, recently the National Catholic Education Association announced 10 recipients of their 2023 Lead, Learn, Proclaim Award, recognizing the outstanding efforts, contributions, and achievements on behalf of Catholic school education. Of the 10 honorees, three of them are from Louisiana, two in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, and one who happens to be my pastor. Father Michael Alello joins us. He is the pastor of St. Thomas More Parish in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Good morning, Father Michael.
Good morning.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, this is, I'm thinking we need to add another very to your very reverend, but we can talk about that
Lord
another
Jesus.
Time.
Oh,
golly.
If you keep adding things to my name, then I won't be able to fit it on a business card. It
there you
great.
Go.
Go ahead.
It's hard being you, I can tell.
It's a tough job, you know, pastoring the flock like yourself, who was not at church this weekend.
Okay,
don't worry, nobody calling you out on the radio.
No, not at all. We were at a lovely parish in Texas, thank you very much. Uh-huh. But my children were there, I'm sure you saw them.
I actually did see your children. I was very proud of them.
Okay,
they were
good.
There without their mama and the daddy.
Okay,
so.
Accountability. Okay, so, you know, somebody's always watching children. If you're listening, somebody's always watching. So, okay, Father Michael, this is a big deal, this award.
Can we say that your pastor's always watching as well? Because I think that's important for people to remember.
For sure. I know for sure my pastor is always watching.
We have a checklist of every parishioner, and as you come in, we're checking you off.
Okay, good.
Especially during the Lenten season.
Okay. That's good to know. That is very good to know. Okay, but is that one of the things that made you eligible? Is that part of the criteria to win this award?
No, I think that actually has nothing to do with it, believe it or not.
Oh, my goodness.
So the award is actually given to pastors of parishes with schools.
Okay.
So it's an award for a pastor's involvement in their school. So as you know, we do have a wonderful K, 12 weeks to eighth grade school that we take care of the littlest to the more fun, entertaining middle school children of God. What a blessing they are in everybody's lives, huh? And so it's great. It's one of our great ministries, and for me, one of my great joys of pastoring is to be able to pastor a school. My vocation really came out of working with young people. That's where I really was challenged to know my own faith, and then as I shared that with young people in their journeys, really found God calling me to priesthood. So the chance to be able to hopefully, maybe, God willing, be a witness for our young people, maybe encourage somebody to be a priest or religious one day would be a miracle, mm-hmm. and it's a gift. It's such a gift to be able to pastor a school and be able to just hang out with the kids and hopefully make a positive impact on them.
So if anybody follows St. Thomas More Catholic School in Baton Rouge or Father Michael Alello, you often will see pictures of him maybe swinging on the swing set or going down a slide or doing dances with preschoolers. I think you love your job.
I do love my job. Here's a warning for everybody, though. Remember to check the bottom of the slide. Okay,
words
because
to live by.
What you forget as we get older, what you forget is if it rains, sometimes the bottom of the slide holds water. And so when you're doing the inaugural blessing of the new playground and you go down the slide and everybody's filming it,
yes,
and there's a big puddle of water that nobody warned you about, make sure a great video that has been lost somewhere.
I gotcha. Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Just trying to help our listeners this morning because I want our people to be aware.
There you go. That's important. Important life lessons from Father Michael Alello. Yeah. So, Father Michael, talk about the difference. So you've been a pastor of a parish without a school, and now you're you're pastor of a parish with a pretty large school. About how many kids from your early learning center on up to eighth grade do you have at St. Thomas More?
Including our early learning center, it's close to 700.
Okay,
right,
that's
700,
awesome.
I believe.
Wow. So, yeah. so that's quite the flock of little ones. So do you?
It is. I love it. I was going to say somebody said yesterday. I'm trying to remember where I was. Pastoring a parish or just running a school is great when you get to just pastor the children without the parents. Just the children without the parents.
I gotcha.
So there's the joy of pastoring a parish and a school is great. Because of the kids, and then you get the pastor, the parents as well, and hopefully everybody's finding their way to Jesus is the goal. But it's such a difference because it really does, of course, it brings the challenges of just dealing with all those people, just the quantity of students and families is a challenge because it's a more work for the pastor. Hopefully he's being present and doing things at the school and engaging everybody. Mm-hmm. But there's so much... there's such a return for that investment, and it really is. I tell people all the time, I feel like a rock star when I walk on our school campus because the kids are like screaming, Father Michael, and they're like running at you. And if you've never lived until you've had 50 second graders all run towards you at once,
right?
It's rather terrifying, actually. And every once in a while, if you're lucky, they actually will run with such force that they will knock you over, which makes for a real adventure.
Okay.
Not that that's ever happened. I don't speak from experience, but I'm just trying to help people again.
Oh, right.
We're helping
people
be prepared for life today. The slide, the second grader attack. These are important skills to learn.
That's good. Okay, so how did you become the rock star on campus and the National Education Association award recipient?
I have no idea. I'm really wondering, like, were they out of pastors for schools? And, like, all of a sudden, here I am. They needed somebody else. I have no idea.
No.
Okay.
But it was really a great surprise and really a great honor to be recognized. I love working with our young people. I love being present to them and just hanging out with them. The kids are so easy. Everybody that has kids is going to be like,
you
don't have a family.
You don't take them home. No.
No, that's the great thing about pastoring a school. You don't have to take them home. You can get them all riled up and then send them back into the classroom with their teachers. And then their teachers are like, thanks, Father.
Right.
And I'm like, have a great afternoon, everybody. It is one of the great joys of it. But no, it's just, I'm always reminded that ministry is not always about what we say. Mm-hmm. And for somebody that loves to preach, that's a great reminder. But it's not. It's not always about what we say. It's about whether or not we are present. Yes. And I love just to wander on our campus and poke my head in and out of classrooms and visit with our great faculty and work with our admin to plan and do great things for our students and families. And it's just a gift. It really is. When I'm having a rough day, when something's got me kind of off kilter or it's been a tough meeting or something, mm-hmm. my favorite thing to do is just to walk to the school. I mean, it's an immediate change of pace for me. And if you really want to have a good day, just go hang out with the preschool because you just never know what's going to happen. What's going to come out of the mouths of babes. And we had silly sock day the other day.
And, you know, I love a good silly sock. So the preschool kids all had to show me their socks. So imagine 120 children of God trying to show you their socks at once. It's like the second grader attack, you know.
Yes.
But it's just great. I love it. I love it. Love it.
Well, we love you, Father Michael, and we're so grateful to have you at St. Thomas More. And as a parent of the children who were recipients of your shepherding, I am grateful to Father Michael Alello, pastor of St. Thomas More in Baton Rouge, National Catholic Education Association Lead, Learn, Proclaim Award recipient. Father Michael, before we let you go, would you give a blessing to our listeners?
Sure. On this beautiful, beautiful, it is Thursday, right? Yeah, Thursday morning here in South Louisiana. Lord God, we just thank you for a beautiful day that has already begun, and ask you as we journey through these Lenten days, Lord, just to keep nourishing us and keep drawing us closer to your Son, Jesus, and help us to be filled with your love and your mercy, and help us to be healed of anything that might be broken, especially during Lent. And ask all of our listeners to be filled with your grace and your love, and keep them safe and healthy, and continue to draw them closer to you, Lord, and bless them, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Michael Alello, pastor of St. Thomas More Parish in Baton Rouge. It's a pleasure having you this morning. See you Sunday.
All right. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks, you too. Hey, stick around. Jack Beers, Vice President of Ministry at Dynamic Catholic, joins us next. It's 15 minutes before the hour on Wake.
It is 48 past the hour on Wake Up. I'm Gabby Smith along with Alicia Quibido. So there's a theme here going on with the morning show. We're talking about parish life, thriving parishes, thriving Catholic schools, awards in Catholic schools. It's a theme here, and we're going to continue that theme with our next guest, Jack Beers. Jack is a vice president of ministry over at Dynamic Catholic, and today we're going to be talking about how Flocknote is changing the way parishes communicate. Good morning, Jack. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning. It's great to be with you both.
Well, I have heard of Flocknote, and it is actually, I love it, because I sometimes need a reminder via text message or through my phone of what is going on in my life, because there's just so many things going on a daily basis. So tell us a little bit about Dynamic Catholic and Flocknote first, and then we'll jump in to the best Lent ever experience.
Sure. So Dynamic Catholic, I mean, we produce a program, like you just mentioned, Best Lent Ever. And it's just this daily email program, and it just pops in your email every day and just sort of walks with you through Lent, just trying to help you meet you where you are and lead you to the next step to where God's calling you to be in that particular Lent. And we've been doing it for a bunch of years now, and one of the challenges we've had is connecting with the parish community. Now, a parish could have in the past invited parishioners to utilize Best Lent Ever for their Lenten journey, but it would be done on an individual basis. It would happen between that individual and Dynamic Catholic. And what we really wanted to do was provide parishes an opportunity to experience all of that content together as a community, and to be able to talk with one another about it and to feel like they had a shared experience. And for the many wonderful things and fruit that's born from Best Lent Ever, to that be associated with the parish and not necessarily Dynamic Catholic. And Flocknote, over the last couple of years in particular, has really become the premier parish communication tool. And we've been talking quite a bit with its founder, Matt Warner, and just his heart for ministry is similar to our heart for ministry. And wanting to be able to partner and utilize the services and serve parishes. And so when we started talking about Best Lent Ever, we thought it was perfect, because with one or two clicks, because of how simple and easy Flocknote is to use, a parish can send out Best Lent Ever all of Lent in one or two clicks, and then it just arrives in a parishioner's inbox, and then they can... There's a forum to which they can communicate with one another, so they can chat about what they're experiencing and how it's helping them grow in their relationship with God. And that just seemed like a perfect fit to help parishes and parishioners have a great Lenten experience together, not separately, but together. Mm-hmm.
I love that because it brings the unity of the parish life. It makes you feel like you're part of a family, especially with big parishes because there's a lot of them across our country. So you are experiencing over 9,000 parishes nationwide. How has this impacted Catholics who use this program? And I know that we are in almost to Easter Sunday, you know, so maybe this could be a great opportunity for parishes next year. But talk about the impact it has made thus far.
Yeah, well, I think we're hearing some great things from parishes who are utilizing Flocknote. And yeah, Flocknote has a relationship with about 9,000 parishes at this point. And then there's a number of them, last time I checked, is about 500 of them who are using Best One Ever. And they're having a great experience, you know, because in today's era, there's a big challenge for parishes in getting people to come to the parish.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I want you to experience something powerful for Lent, but there's a big obstacle, which is you have to get in your car and you have to come to the parish. And many people, an increasing number of people, unfortunately, are reluctant to actually go to the parish. Anybody who's gone to their parish mission knows what I'm talking about, because you go and you normally just see the same people you see at everything. You don't necessarily see new people. One of the ways that Flocknote's technology and Dynamic Catholic's content have been able to partner together, it's like the parish can go into the home of the parishioner. So if you're trying to engage someone who's kind of a fringe Catholic or who's not coming that often or hasn't come back in a little while, you don't have to ask them to come to you. You can do what Jesus did, and you can go directly to them. You can pop in their phone and in their inbox. And it's been an amazing evangelization tool for parishes to do that with people without requiring them to come to the parish, which is a beautiful thing.
Definitely. Well, Dynamic Catholic has made such an impact on so many parishes. I love seeing pastors say, pick up this book at the back of church that's by Dynamic Catholic. So what makes the products that you make so unique that parishes use it to engage their parishioners? We have a couple of minutes, Jack.
Yeah. Well, I'm a product of that book just popping in. You know, I was not Catholic. I was leaving Mass one Sunday right after Christmas, and this guy would not let me leave unless I took a book. And that book was Rediscover Catholicism. And one night I couldn't sleep, and I thought, what's going to put me to sleep? Oh, a Catholic book will help me put me to sleep. You know, that's perfect. And I went and I picked the book up, and I didn't sleep. I just didn't sleep that night. I just read it, and there was something about that book that met me right where I was in a powerful, powerful way. And in particular, you know, what Dynamic Catholic does really well is Matthew Kelly has traveled to over 3,000 parishes in his life, and he has met with hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Catholics, more Catholics maybe than any other Catholic in America right now. And he really got to know the heart of the church, and he has a gift from God to be able to speak directly to that person who is there but has no idea why they're there, who needs to rediscover the faith, needs to rediscover a relationship with Jesus or discover it for the first time. And he really got to know that individual, and he's been speaking to them through the written word for a long time now, very powerfully and very effectively.
Amazing. Absolutely incredible. Thank you so much for that testimony. Where can people go to find out more information about Flocknote and the Best Lent Ever program?
Sure. You just go to dynamiccatholic.com. And all the information that you need will be there around Best Lent Ever. There's still time to check it out. I know that you've been talking about schools today. In particular, one of the programs that we're doing, Holy Moments Alive, has been utilized by schools in which there's a prompt every single day to try to create a holy moment with God. And a lot of schools have been using it in a powerful way, and it doesn't have to just be during Lent. So you go ahead and check it out at dynamiccatholic.com and see if you can utilize it to help the young people of your parish grow in their faith.
Amazing. Jack Beers, Vice President of Ministry over at Dynamic Catholic. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Happy to be here anytime. God bless you both.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. That website is dynamiccatholic.com. Amazing. Dynamic Catholic keeps popping up in church parishes, and there's a reason why it continues to be right there in the center. So definitely check it out.
Absolutely. Gabby, you know, I wanted to mention we interviewed Father Michael Alello, pastor of St. Thomas More in Baton Rouge. He is one of the recipients of the 2023 Lead, Learn, Proclaim Awards from National Catholic Education Association. We also want to give a shout out to Sister Camille Ann Campbell, who is the president of Mount Carmel Academy in the Archdiocese of Baton Rouge, and Mr. Josh Zarang, who is a teacher at my kids' school, St. Michael the Archangel High School in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. They are also recipients of that award. So congratulations and thank you for all you do. I thought we'd close with a prayer for Catholic schools this morning, Gabby. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Bless all our Catholic schools and the many people who advance our mission. May our schools be a home for those who seek to grow in openness, faith, love, intellect, and commitment to justice. In your name we pray, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time for our Wake Up St. Patrick's Day special. Pete Dawson joins us in our Baton Rouge studio on Irish Flute. You guys, you don't want to miss this. It's one of my favorite episodes of Wake Up throughout the year. Elise Ashford, president of Holy Family School in Port Allen, will be with us. Sister Mary Lou Specia with Hotel Hope, the Catholic Foodie, and so much more. Have a wonderful Thursday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.